The following is a lecture entitled Who You Are and Be Who You Are, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 8th, 2011, in Noida, India.
So, I saw the title of the lecture was Know Who You Are and Be Who You Are. So that is our philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. Krishna consciousness means to know who you are and then to be who you are. So before we begin this discussion, first we will invoke the auspiciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vaganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakon Vitamscha. So, by the all auspicious blessings of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, we have been blessed with the knowledge of who we are. Previously, we were thinking, I am this body. I am male. I am female. I am American. I am Indian. I am old. I am young. So many false designations. What was the result of these false designations? Were we happy? No. We were very unhappy in this false bodily conception of life. Therefore, Rupa Goswami very nicely describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Sarvapadi Vanirmuktam Tatparat Vena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. One should be free from all material designations. Sarvapadi Vanirmuktam. He should be cleansed of all material contamination. He should be restored to his original pure identity in which he engages his senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses. That is called devotional service. So this process of devotional service means, first of all, you have to kick out the upadis, sarvapadi, all these false bodily designations. You see? We're so rooted in false bodily conceptions. What's the first thing they say when we come out of the womb? Oh, look, it's a boy, it's a girl. You see? Immediately, the bodily concept. We're immediately programmed to think, I am this body. But what begins at the moment of birth? What is that wonderful thing that begins at the moment of birth? It is called death. As soon as you are born, your death has begun. For some, it's an 80-year death. For some, it's a 70-year death, a 40-year death, a 5-year death. But our death begins at the very moment of birth. from one who has been born, death is certain. And from one who dies, birth is certain. This janma mrityu, it is going on eternally in this material existence. So, as long as we identify or misidentify with this material body, we are making ourselves subject to the law of death. And for the eternal spiritual being, death is not at all compatible. Death is incompatible with the nature of the living entity. Jivara Svarupa Hari Krishnara Nityadas. Do you think that an eternal being could be satisfied with death? Every living entity in this material world is actually an eternal being. Therefore, everyone shuns death. Everyone shuns death. Human beings shun it. Dogs shun it. An ant shuns it. Every living entity tries to avoid death. Even the plants, they try to avoid death. When I was a young boy, I went camping one time in the forest with my father, some other boys. And I noticed there was one tree that had come into light being in an area where there was no sunlight. There was all these big, huge trees, and they were blocking the sun. So there's no sun for that little tree. What does it mean? Death. Tree has to get some sunlight. So instead of going straight, that tree had the intelligence. The trunk, none of the trees grow like this, but this tree grew like this along the earth until he got to a place where there was an opening, and then he went up. You see? Because that tree also had the instinct for survival. He did not want to die. He wanted to live. Therefore, instead of going straight as a tree normally grows, he grew parallel with the ground and kept growing, growing, growing until finally he got to an area where there was sunlight, and then he went up. So every living entity, he wants to live. He does not want to die. Therefore, the first thing is one must kick out the false identification with matter. And what is the second thing? Become cleansed of all material contamination. Sarvaparivanirman tatparit vena nirmalam. That dirt, that muddle, you must become nirmal. You must become free of all of that contamination, you see. And then what's the next item? He says, restored to his pure identity. So that's why it's very important to come in contact with sadhus, with guru, and with shastra. Because by the mercy of the sadhus, by the mercy of the spiritual master, and by the mercy of the wisdom, the Vedic wisdom, one can understand, who am I? You see? Simply deny, I'm not this body, then my body is also denied. Yes. Simply say, I'm not this body, that is only half the solution. We have to know what you are positively also. Simply to deny your material existence, that is not sufficient. You have to reaffirm your spiritual identity also. Through mental speculation, one may come to the point of impersonal Brahman, denying the material body of the self. But if you want to realize the actual transcendental nature of the self, you must have the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master. You see, Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. one living entity who is very fortunate. After wandering and wandering and wandering up and down, around and around through the 8,400,000 species of life for millions of eons in this material existence. One living entity who is indeed fortunate by the combined mercy of Sri Guru and Krishna. He gets, what does he get? Bhakti Lata Beej. He gets that seed of pure bhakti planting within his heart. And if he will regularly water that seed by hearing and chanting, if he will protect that seed by avoiding sinful activities, then that seed planted within the heart, it will grow and grow and grow. It will penetrate the thick, impenetrable coverings of this material existence. And it will enable that jiva soul to enter the spiritual existence, the Padavyama, and travel across that vast, unlimitedly vast spiritual existence to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Govinda in Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. So this process works. You have to know who you are, and then you have to manifest it in practice. If you simply want to theorize without actually doing it in practical way, your spiritual life will never be perfect. It will always remain incomplete. Just like if you want to be a chemist, you must not only attend the lectures on chemistry, but you must go to the laboratory also, the lab, where you can actually combine the chemicals in the test tubes. You see? If you want to be an expert computer scientist, you have to be able to actually write the code, not just study about it. You see? So, practical application is required in any science. If you do not apply the science, you never become a master of the science. So to simply speculate, I am not this body, I am spirit, with no practical activities on the spiritual plane, will leave one in this material existence. One may fly in the sky of Brahman for some time in mental speculation, but avruya krichchena parang padam patad patad yuto nadrita dushyam angriyaha. After they fly for some time in the sky of Brahman, they run out of gas and they come down again to this material existence. Patanti adho. So don't think that you can simply theoretically study Krishna consciousness without putting it into practice and get out of this material existence. You will not do so. You will remain bound up in karma chakra unless you apply this science according to the methodologies given by who? The great Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gutas tapanta. If you will follow the pathway of these great Mahajanas, then the wonderful, enlightening, thrilling adventure of Krishna consciousness will become a practical reality within your heart, within your daily life, at every moment. Whether you're at the temple, whether you're at your job, whether you're at home, whether you're in the commute, wherever you may be. If you can apply this science of bhakti very sincerely, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, then you'll become perfect. You see? Rupa Goswami emphasizes that in the beginning you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Adau garashvayam sadharma prachcha sadhu marganu gamanam. He says the very first thing you should do, adau garashvayam, you should take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. And then what do? Do you inquire from him, "Oh Guruji, please bless me, I want to win the lottery. Guruji, please bless me, I have a pain in my knee." Is that how you should inquire from the spiritual master? "Guruji, please tell me how I should invest in the stock market so I can make 1 crore rupees. Is that how you approach a spiritual master? No, sat dharma prachar. You must inquire about religion, not about material advancement. You must inquire about dharma. That is the injunction given by Rupa Goswami. And then under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, he will engage you in the service sadhu marganu gamanam. He will engage you in following in the footsteps of the great saintly devotees of the Lord. It's like we have our Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Narottam Das, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj, the Sikh Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya, Madhavendra Puri, you see, Ishvara. We have so many, Madhvacharya. We have so many great acharyas, Narad Muni, Brahmaji, so many great acharyas, you see. So, the spiritual master, he teaches you how to become pakka follower of all these great, great acharyas. And then you become solidly situated in transcendental life. You fully realize who you are. You fully realize jivera swarupahai krishnera nityadas. The constitutional position of a living entity is that he is what? The eternal servant of Maya? That's who we are now. No, the eternal servant of Krishna. Unless you have realized that you are the eternal servant of Krishna, my dear sir or my dear lady, you're in Maya. You're in a state of illusion. You're in a state of confusion. You're in a state of delusion, where you have misery and profusion. Is it? But if you can actually realize that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, that's who I am. I'm not this body. I'm not Mr. Such and Such, Patel or Smith or whatever it may be. These are external designations. I'm actually Krishna Das, Nitya Krishna Das, the eternal servant of Krishna. Please kick out all of these false designations that are causing you so much misery. Kick them out. Kick them out. Kick them out. Understand that you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Awaken your Krishna consciousness. Be happy with the greatest opulence, the greatest treasure that is ever given in the history of the whole universe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There is no greater wealth. There is no greater treasure. Why? Because the holy name is Krishna Himself. God Himself has appeared in this holy name. If you will chant this holy name without offense, you are directly associating with God Himself. That person who controls everything. That person who owns everything. That person who knows everything. That person who is the source of everything. He is fully, absolutely, totally manifested in Krishna. Those two syllables. So just try to chant Hare Krishna without any offense, and your life will be perfect. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Any questions? You can hear his question and repeat it to me.
If
really
God is one, why there is so many religions?
All right, tell me, what was this question?
If God is one, why there is so many religions?
If God is one, why there is so many religions? If God is one, why there is so many religions?
So many religions. If God is one, why are there so many religions? That's a very nice question. Thank you very much. How many suns are there in the sky? How many suns in the sky are there? There's only one. Yep. How many names are there for the sun? As many names as there are different languages. Like in Hindi, Surya, in English, the sun. In Spanish, El Sol. It's sun. There's hundreds of different names for the same thing. So, just as the sun has hundreds of different names, so God has hundreds of different names, according to different cultures. But, my dear sir, actually there's no such thing as different religions. This is man's confusion. Religion is one. Become a lover of God. That is religion. But this Hindu, Christian, Jew, Sikh, this is not religion. These are sects. There's a difference. These are sects. Actual religion means to be a lover of God. It doesn't belong to any particular sect. Love of God is a universal thing. Anyone who develops love for God, they are truly religious. We don't care if they're a Hindu, they're a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, whatever they be. If they have become a pure lover of God, then they are a first-class religious person. So religion is one. Become a lover of God. That religion, that pure form of religion, is taught in the Vedas. Actually, that Vedic wisdom predates the universe. Do you know how old the universe is that we are in right now? 155 trillion years old, this universe. The Vedic religion, the science of love of God taught in the Vedas, it exists even before the beginning of this universe. So actually, there's only one religion, and that is taught in the Vedas, to become a pure lover of God. But we accept as bona fide any other system which teaches the same principle of total surrender to the will of God. So other systems like Christianity or Islam or Judaism, they are bona fide to the extent that they are in accord with the Vedic system. And to the extent that they are not in accord with it, they are illegitimate. So we acknowledge whatever, we acknowledge them for having some semblance of religion within their system. And we encourage them, because that's good for them. But for those who are ready, we'll bring them to the full standard as given in the Vedas. Does that answer your question? Are you satisfied with that answer?
No.
Okay. Another question. Yeah, writing him down is very good. All right. Practically, how can we kick out false position? How can we kick out the false prestige position? Yeah, that's why you have to become a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. Because now you're his menial servant. If he tells you to go clean the toilet, you do it with enthusiasm. And having a spiritual master is very important. And humbly serving the Vaishnavas also is a very, very important thing. By that Guru Sangha and Vaishnava Sangha, by becoming a humble servant of Guru and Vaishnavas, then one can give up the false sense of prostration, the false sense of prestige that one has, that I am great. Any other questions? We don't have much time, so you got to hurry, get them up here fast. Okay. What does God like the most? The thing he loves the most that he desires the most is your love. So give your love to Krishna. That's what he likes the most, if you love him. There's nothing Krishna likes more than if you love him. Next question. Okay. Who are we? How we got created? How were our souls created? Okay. We are the energy of Krishna. Krishna did not create us at a moment in time. Krishna is eternally manifesting us from himself. We are the separated energy of the Lord, separated from himself so that he can have a loving relationship with us. We are the energy of God, eternally manifested by him, eternally being emanated from him, for the purpose of having loving reciprocation with him.
Who is more superior, Vishnu?
Who is more superior, Vishnu or Shiva, and why so? Well, Shiva is a great authority, so why don't we ask him? He says, Vishnu Radhanam Devi. He says, Vishnu worship is superior.
What is
God? God, the word God means controller, so the supreme controller, or the supreme Godhead, is Krishna.
In Bhagavad Gita, it is written.
That work is worship, so what is the need of chanting and worshipping? The Bhagavad Gita does not say that work is worship. This is a misquote. If that was true, then the thief is also working hard to rob the bank. Is that puja? Krishna says that if you offer the result of your work to me. He never says it's simply working is worship. He never says that. But this is a big problem in India. People think I'm doing my duty because I'm working my job. Therefore, I'm doing my Krishna seva. You see, that's nonsense. Krishna says, "Do your work and offer the result to me. If you do your work and keep the result for yourself and your family members, then you remain in karma chakra. You have to offer the result of your work to Krishna. Then you are doing puja. Otherwise, not." Is that a puja? It's pooj. You know the difference? Pooj means stool. If you work for yourself, it's simply stool. It's pooj. If you offer the result to Krishna, then it's puja, worship. Okay. All right. Does just being the lover of God designated as bhakta? If you want to be lover of God is not some theoretical thing. It means you surrender to God. If you love Krishna, then you must do what Krishna says. You say I love God, but I don't follow his instructions. Then you're a rascal. You don't love God. If you truly love God, and you'll do whatever he says. You'll strictly follow the instructions of God. Otherwise, you're a rascal, cheater, bluffer. The restrictions of onion, garlic, meat, and egg are there away. So, our restriction actually is not against these things. Our restriction is we only take what is yajna shishta. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 13, yajna shishta shana shanto muchante sarvakel vishai. We are restricted against taking those things that are not yajna shishta, the result of the remnants of sacrifice. Anything that's acceptable in sacrifice for Krishna, that we can do. Since onions, garlic, meat, and eggs are not acceptable in sacrifice, therefore we do not touch. If we use Om Namo Shivaya, then is it beneficial for me? why we use Hare Krishna. Actually, if you want to, why don't you find out from Lord Shiva what he recommends you should do? We have nothing against the principle of Om Namo Shivaya. He's a great Vaishnava Acharya. We offer our respects to this great. He's practically on the level of God Himself, according to Brahma Samhita. So we offer all respect, and we are servants of Lord Shiva. So why don't we find out from Him? And as I just quoted you moments ago, his wife asked him, what is the best worship? He said, the worship of Vishnu or Krishna. So therefore, we're following Shiva by chanting Hare Krishna. If God really exists, why can't we see Him? Well, you can. You can see Him. You just have to qualify yourself. That's all. Do you have a prime minister in India? How many of you personally seen the Prime Minister? So, if you want to see the Prime Minister, you've got to qualify yourself, you know, with a big bribe or something like that. So, if you want to qualify yourself to see God, you have to have some devotion. And He will reveal. Do you think Krishna is an imagination? Do you think He's fake? Something he dreamed up and down in Bollywood? Krishna is the origin of everything. Everything emanates from Him. This building is the emanation of Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. So actually, there is no way of not seeing Krishna, because Krishna is within everything and everything is within Krishna. You're seeing Krishna at every minute, but the only problem is your vision is blurry right now. That's all. Just like some of you wearing glasses, you see. If you take off your glasses, it's a blur. You require corrective lenses. So actually, Krishna is there. We're seeing Him right now, every one of us. But because our vision is out of focus, we don't see Him directly. We're seeing His energy instead of Him directly. So if you will correct your vision by a wonderful ointment, if you, you know, there's a wonderful ointment you can put in your eyes and allows you to see God. Have you heard of that ointment before? Everybody heard of that ointment? It's a wonderful ointment you can put in your eyes, and by applying that to your eyes, you will see God in due course. Lord Brahma explained this in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text number. I forget the text number. It's chapter 5 of the Brahma Samhita. He says, Preman jana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu velokayanti yang shama shundaram chintu ganasva rupam govindamadi purusham damaham vajami. He says, if you will anoint your eyes with the salve of love of God, then you will see Krishna directly, face to face, eye to eye. So you can see God. You just have to get some of this premanjana and apply it regularly and cure yourself of the cataracts that are blinding you at the present moment. Why should we believe that the organizers of this universe is God only? No, it's not God only. We don't have to. God, you think God has to do all the little nitty-gritty details? No, He has His assistants. Krishna actually empowers His agents. Krishna doesn't have to mess around with manifesting the planets. He's too busy playing the flute on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshigad. But He has His empowered agents, the Vishnus. You see? He has one Vishnu, Karnadakashai Vishnu, lying down in a corner of the spiritual sky, emanating all the universes from Himself. And then in each one of those universes, that Karanadakashai Vishnu further manifests as Garbhadakashai Vishnu, lying down in the bottom of each universe and emanating from His own perspiration an ocean, the Garbhadak ocean, which He lies down and produces a lotus flower from His navel, from which Lord Rama is born, who further engages in the activity of organizing the universe. So He doesn't do it alone. He engages so many helpers. How can we come under the leadership of a true guru? It's very simple. You just have to follow his instructions, that's all. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganinatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master and inquire from him submissively. We have many spiritual masters in our society. I am one of them. So if you would like to approach me for leadership, all you have to do is write me an email, SDA, which stands for Sankarshan Das Adhikari, SDA@backtohome.com. SDA@backtohome, BACKTOHOME.com. Now some people are shocked. They say, "What? You're a married man, an adhikari? You can't initiate anyone. You have to be a sannyasi to initiate somebody. What is this? What is this blasphemy against Vedic culture?" But what ashram was Prabhupada in when he initiated his first disciples? Anybody know? Does anybody know what ashram Prabhupada was in when he initiated his first disciple? Prabhupada was a vanaprastha. He initiated Acharya Prabhakar and Joshi when Prabhupada was a vanaprastha. So therefore we can understand that from Prabhupada's example that when a vanaprastha Prabhupada said in any order, a brahmachari, a grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, it doesn't matter. Anyone can become an initiating spiritual master if they know the science of Krishna. So next one. Mosquitoes are having their little fun tonight. Please, let's put on a little more cream here. Okay. Here we go. All right. Now they'll come to you instead of me. Please enlighten. Why should we practice Krishna consciousness? Okay. I want you to chant at least 16 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Japa Mala. I want you to avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. If you do these things, then you can approach your authorities to be recommended for shelter from a bona fide spiritual master in our movement. And then once you've proven your worthiness, you can become initiated. Keep doing these things for your whole life. The best way to serve God is to serve mankind. And why are we... Who said the best way to serve God is to serve mankind? That's nonsense. It's not saying the best way to water the tree is to water the leaves and branches. I mean, who concocted this stupid idea? That's not at all true. Some bogus guru dreamed up this ridiculous concept. What gardener would water the tree by watering the leaves and branches? Every gardener knows you water the root of the tree. Or why a gardener? You eat, don't you? Does every part of your body require nutrition? And when you eat, when you want to nourish your whole body, you say, "Well, the best way to feed my body is to give nourishment to each and every part of the body. So I know what I'll do. I'll fill up my bathtub with dal, and I'll get in there and soak myself in the dal." I mean, come on. Let's kick out these ridiculous ideas. You put the food in the belly, it goes to your belly. In the mouth, it goes to the belly. You nourish the belly, then the whole body is nourished. So if you want to serve man, you give your service to God. And then your service goes to everyone. You see? If you say, "Well, I want to serve man," well, how many men can you serve? You say, "Well, I want to serve everybody." Well, wait a minute. Can you be in every country at the same... Can you be in every country at every minute serving every single person? What about all the people in the past? What about all the people in other universes? Can you serve them at every minute? It's not practical. But if you will serve God, then automatically you serve every living entity throughout the entirety of existence in the best possible way. So give up this rubbish idea that by serving the serving man, you're serving God. I mean, stop this stupid nonsense philosophy that goes around India like a disease. Kick this philosophy out of India right now. Do your country a favor and kick out this bogus philosophy. please. Okay. All right. Whom does God prefer, a devotee who loves him or a person who spends his life in helping the needy one? What do the needy ones need? Do you know what they need? Do you know what the needy ones need more than anything else? This is the problem. We think, well, he needs some food, he needs some shelter. Why don't you see his most important need first? Don't be a dullard. What is the most important need that everyone has? They're going to die. And that something must somehow be saved from death. The biggest problem that every single person on this planet has is everyone is subject to the law of death. So first of all, save them from death. You do that service for the needy ones. You save every needy one from the greatest need he has, and that is that he's forced to die by the laws of nature. Save him from that disease. You see? Then you have done the greatest service, you see. So how do you save them from death? You make them Krishna conscious. Then you've done the greatest service for everyone. How can we manage our time? How much time should we give to God in our study? All right? Get up in the morning. Do your sadhana with full devotion and attention. Chant your 16 rounds and then study like anything the whole day. But the first thing, Krishna consciousness. First thing, 16 rounds of japa mala on your morning puja. Do that first. And then you do your study. You'll know why you're doing your study. You're not doing it for sense gratification. You're doing it to serve Krishna. You're doing it to please Krishna. But if you get up and just start your studies, think, well, I'll chant around here, or chant around there, or chant on the bus, chant here, chant there, then you won't know why you're chanting. And think, why am I chanting? It's getting in the way of my studies. You have to properly orient yourself in Krishna consciousness by putting chanting first. And then everything else will fall into place perfectly. You'll become an excellent student, an excellent leader. You'll become a great, happy, intelligent, powerful person on this planet. How can we put a halt to our never-ending desires? Well, you just have to find the... just have to find a higher grade of never-ending desires. There's nothing wrong with never-ending desires. You just got to move to a higher platform of never-ending desires. You think the pure devotee doesn't have any desires? The pure devotee has more desires than the non-karmi. The pure devotee desires to deliver every single man, woman, and child in this entire universe back to Godhead. He has more desires than anyone else. So just move your desires to a better neighborhood. Okay, so that's our time is up. And we thank you all very much. You have my email address if you have any more questions.
Sorry, last question.
Huh?
Sorry, Gaudiya circle and big center everywhere, but circumference nowhere.
Nothing?
Sir, Gaudiya circle. Sir, Gaudiya circle, big center everywhere, but circumference nowhere. But he's not.
Is this a question?
Yes,
no, you have to write an email. The questions are over now.
But he's not seen anywhere.
I've ended the questions. So you can write an email now. Okay, so we thank you all very much for your participation in this wonderful process, which will liberate you and liberate the entire world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yes, Krishna, Satya, Satya, Satya.